Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, and we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of his ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So last week, we started talking about giving. And it's something we only really talk about when the Bible gets to it. And so again, I want to just say for those of you who are here for the first time, or if you missed last week, you think, man, what a great Sunday to come to church. Well, let me just tell you, we don't want your money. We don't want anything. We are people who give. We're not people who take things. So don't worry about that. Because giving, I think, is part of the basic of a Christian life. Because our Lord gave himself. John 3:16 tells us so clearly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, as I said last week too, we simply teach the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we just happen to be in that section, especially these two chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. This is like the longest section on giving. And I think, you know, the Lord has that for us for a reason. So, I also want to mention again, for those who weren't here last time, that giving doesn't just refer to finances. It refers to your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your energy, your resources, pretty much everything, you know, that God has given you. And last week we looked at the fact that under the old covenant, there was a required giving, a tithe, instituted by the Lord at that time. And then also we said there's no way that you can teach tithing from the New Testament, because the new covenant supersedes the old covenant in the sense that it's the fulfillment of the old covenant. And there's no way that you can teach tithing, especially from the New Testament, because our giving as New Testament Christians is different. You see, we don't have to give. It's not something like, oh, I have to give my tithe. We get to give of everything that God has given us because the way that God gave himself for us. And so as we've seen last week, something very important I just want to mention again. Our giving really starts by giving ourselves first to God. That's where it starts. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, because ultimately, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we looked at that last week, that your giving is an expression of your heart. It expresses your love to whatever you give towards. And today, if you want to take note, encouraged in giving, and it will be part two. And today we're really going to look at how to give, the how of giving. So look there at verse 1. He says, now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. So again, the ministry that he speaks about is the specific collection that all these Gentile churches are gathering together to give to the church in Jerusalem, who is really at this time financially going through hard times. And Paul says, you know, it's superfluous for me to write to you. So he reminds them about the enthusiasm they had initially, because the Corinthian church were all on board in the beginning a year previous. They said, we want to be part of this. We want to give. And the promise they made to give. And he says, I don't need to remind you about the collection because you're already ready and willing to give, right? So it's a little sarcasm there from Paul. And he says in verse 2, for I know your willingness about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago and your zeal has stirred up the majority. So under the how to give, the first thing you can write down there is we should be ready and zealous to give. Paul's giving them a heads up, really. We looked at the story now, but for those of you who missed out, he's bringing some of the representatives with him from all these different churches in Macedonia and Achaia, the ones who are giving to the church in Jerusalem. And he's told the Macedonian churches about the Corinthians, how they were so excited to be part of this gift towards the church in Jerusalem, and they got all on board, but they were the poorer churches. The ones in Macedonia were the churches who really struggled financially. Yet they put together this amazing gift for the church in Jerusalem. And now they're coming down. And Corinth, the church who initially said, listen, we are fully into that. It's been a year and they still haven't given anything. And it's like, okay, so they're going to be coming there now. He says, your zeal has stirred up the majority. So the Corinthians were excited initially. And they were ready to be part of this thing. And this deal stirred up the other churches to be part of this love gift too. It speaks about a ministry. So this is almost like Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If any one of us are busy with anything zealously for the kingdom and readiness in the kingdom, you stir up people around you just by seeing the sacrifice in your own life. And so God's done so much in my life. And now I see the sacrifice of others and it stirs you up in a good way. And then verse 3, he says there, yet I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. So Paul is a little concerned about the Corinthians, just because about all the things that's been happening there over the past year. And he says a little sarcastically, I know you are so willing, but I'm just going to send some guys to make sure, you know, that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. So he's really saying, Corinthians, don't just talk about giving because talk is cheap. You know, you stirred up everyone by saying how you want to give. And now just make sure that there's actually an offering, you know, when all the guys get there. He says that you may be ready because all these representatives of the rest of the churches are on their way there. He says in verse 4, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of the confident boasting. So Paul doesn't want them to be embarrassed. He doesn't want them to be humiliated. And so he boasted of their willingness to give to the other people. And now as they come, he just wants them to be ready when all these poor representatives come, you know, with him. Then he says in verse 5, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. That's the second thing you can write down in how to give. We should give generously. You see, to be a generous giver in the biblical sense has got far more to do with your attitude than with the amount that you give. Well, remember the widow and her two mites we spoke about last week? And so Paul didn't want any offerings to be taken while he was there because he didn't want them to be manipulated in any way. He didn't want them to be pressured like, now the apostle is here, so let's send the plates around. Let's see how you give. You know, he didn't want any manipulation, any pressure in giving when he was there. And again, since our giving in a new covenant is not a binding commitment or obligation, our giving needs to be free. Our giving needs to come from the heart. And if your giving comes from a heart, it should be generous. But he wanted it done in advance to prevent any criticism on him and his ministry because Paul was concerned for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an apostle of Jesus. He ministered to all these people. And he was not, a lot of people may say, well, you know, he's just in it for the money or whatever. And Paul didn't take any of this money personally. He had a group of people, stewards, take this money to the church in Jerusalem. But he wanted it done in advance, you know, to prepare it because he was extremely careful in his regard to money, really. Because so much reproach can be coming on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if ministers don't handle finances in the right way. And unfortunately, we know there's a lot of that going on in this world today. A lot of people bring reproach on the emphasis on giving. There are many clever evangelists who have perfected every possible way to fleece the flock of God by the things they say. They stir up people. You know, I've been in churches where I saw people taking off their rings and their watches and put it in the, because there's such an emotional hype and there's such a stir in the wrong way stirring. And I mean, that's not the kind of giving that God ever desires. So Paul didn't want any accusation of fleecing because, you know, Paul's heart was feeding the flock, was caring for the flock. And he says very carefully that it may be ready as a generosity and not a grudging obligation. So Paul was concerned about this church. That's why he mentioned these things. Paul said, you know, God wants our giving to be out of generosity and unconditional love, not of a grudging obligation. And as Christians, as I said, if we first give ourselves to God, that's a thing. Lord, I belong to you and I surrender myself to you because you gave everything for me. And because I belong to you, now everything I have belongs to you. So Lord, may you lead me how to steward the things that you've given me to steward. And so we first give ourselves to the Lord freely and then we give freely after that to other things. Verse 6, he says there, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now we get to that principle of God on giving. The thing that we sort of said last week, we'll talk about this week. It's a spiritual law that works just the way that any natural law works, like gravity or electricity. You know, if you walk off the roof, you're going to fall to the floor. It's just it's what happens. And so this works exactly the same way because God made it to work like that. And so Paul said we should look at giving to God as a farmer looks at giving, in the sense of sowing representing giving. So the farmer, you know, he has some seed that he uses for himself, but he sows all the rest of his seed. He sows his seed, and in a certain sense, it seems like, man, I'm giving everything away because I'm sowing it into the ground, you know, and there's nothing left in my hand, really. But it's only for a moment, because remember what you have to factor in the harvest that comes after the sowing. In the harvest, you always end up with more grain than you have. And so that's just a spiritual and also a natural law of God. And initially, it seems like a contradiction because it seems like the more you give, the more you'll gain. But it works like that. The opposite is also true because like we looked at last week, if you're someone who grips your money, then, you know, you can't expect this abundance to come in if you don't sow in that sense. It's not just money, but again, it's your giftings, your abilities, all those things. So the basic law of sowing and reaping, if you sow, it means every seed will produce more seed. Meaning, if you sow a lot of seed, you'll have a great harvest. If you sow a little few seeds, you know, you'll have a small harvest. And so Paul says this is a law of God that you will never outgive God. And I want you to understand that. If you've never tried the Lord in this, this is something that God's just put out there. Why? Because God will never be a debtor to any man. God will never allow there to be a situation where you can say to God, God, you owe me. It's impossible. It will never happen. God is always the one who first gives to you before you can give back to him. And so no man will ever say, God is indebted to me. God will never allow that to be the situation. So you will never be able to outgive God. And understand this, the kingdom of God doesn't work like the banking institutions of this world. It works completely different. Sowing into God's kingdom, yes, you will reap some temporal things like material, but you will reap spiritual things which are eternal. You see, materially, we can trust that God will provide for those who are givers. God will provide. He says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, note that verse. He doesn't say my God shall supply all your want, because God's not into all your wants in your flesh and he wants to give you everything that you need as a Christian to live a godly life. God will supply that. But on the other hand, the more important part, the spiritual part, we can trust that God will reward the giving heart, both now and eternity. Matthew 19:29, Jesus said, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. It really means that no one, no Christian, will ever be poorer for giving to God because God always comes and he gives back much more. You see, years ago when God started working in me and our hearts in the area of giving, there was a time that I was worried. I mean, we just got married. And we moved down to Cape Town. And so that was a long time ago. It's not like now where everyone moves down and there's work and things happening. I know there's still not a lot of work, but those days there was no work here. So we got down here, and for 6 months, I had no work. I had no income. I sold my motorbike so we could go on honeymoon, right? So we still had a bit of money left from the motorbike. I really love my wife. You see, I sell my motorbike for her. And so I had a little bit of money. I still had a little bit of the dollars left that I earned overseas. And so praise God, during that time, my dad gave us his flat to stay in, you know, rent-free and all of that, which is a blessing. But during that financial hard time in my life, when we were here and we're like wondering, like literally week by week, like, Lord, where's the money going to come from? How are we going to live this week? You know, in that time, God started speaking to me about giving. And I was almost initially thinking like, you know, Lord, why don't you tell someone who actually has something to give? You know, because we're just not in that place at the moment. And I remember God gave me the scripture. And although it is an Old Testament scripture, God just encouraged me in Malachi 3 verse 10. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it. Now again, I want to say this very clearly. Tithing is not a New Testament thing. But the principle here, God is talking about the law of giving. And God says, try me now on this. It's the only thing in Scripture where God says, listen, you can try me on this. And I tried God on that. And let me tell you, it's proven true over and over again. We started giving to the work of God. You know, we came down, we moved down. We were in Calvary Chapel in Cape Town. We started giving to God and to the ministry, and God started blessing, and just God started providing. Not immediately, in the sense that now suddenly there's just money coming in. No, not in that sense. But God was doing a thing in our hearts, because it's about learning. It's a process. And the thing is, any time that you are dependent upon God, you have to learn to trust Him. And I think that's the bottom line of this. And that's why it takes time. We would love it to go like that. Okay, Lord, let me just learn the lesson, and so we can go on. But it's one of those things, like you give and you're like, okay, so thank you, Lord, for providing this week. Now you wonder about next week. Like, Lord, is it going to be the same thing? Is God going to provide for me next week too? And then it goes next week, and then it's month after month. And then you find yourself still stressing. Like, I wonder this month if I'm, you know, and you're thinking like, why can't I just learn the lesson? God's trying to teach you something, that He is faithful. If you just be faithful, you serve Him with your whole heart in every capacity, that He will be faithful. And so we went through a long period of week by week, month by month. And I remember walking on the beach with God. You know, that was right after we got married. I was walking on the beach alone with God. And I prayed this prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just want you to provide for me that I can provide for my family. And I actually prayed this. I said, Lord, I never want too much that I will turn away from you. And Lord, I just never want too little that I will be becoming complaining and bitter and all kinds of things that I want to turn away from you. I just want to serve you. And you know what? The Lord has been so faithful, and the Lord gave me such a confidence in that. The only thing is, like I said, I think we're slow to learn that lesson, that the Lord is actually faithful. And I finally started this company, you know, this web and graphic design company after that time. And then the Lord started blessing this. And, you know, this company started working, and it started going on. And then the Lord started asking me to not just give some of my money, but give my time. And I was like, Lord, you know, I just have this little business. And Lord's like, no, give me your time. So I started giving one ministry day. I remember one ministry day every week. One day was just a ministry day. And then after a while, it's like two ministry days. 2 days of the week was just ministry and no work, you know. And then eventually when God called me full-time into ministry as a pastor, then, you know, all of that. That was just when the business was doing really well, by the way. So, you know, then Lord said, no, now you step out and become a pastor. And then I really started learning what giving is all about. But we continued giving as the Lord led. And the thing is, God continued to provide supernaturally in many ways. And I just want to tell you, you know, this church, what God has done here is amazing to me, because we started out, we had no help from any ministry or any church or anything. There was no help came to us in any way. We just started with the Word of God. We started teaching God's Word. And the first 5 years in this little church, I didn't take a salary or wage or nothing. I took nothing from the church. And in those 5 years, we were the biggest givers in the church. You know, so we were like just giving far more to the church than we took, because God was providing in different ways, which is just amazing. And to me, it's just an amazing way that God will open the door. And I want to encourage you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all the other things, you know, God will give to you. And that's my life verse. And I just want to encourage you to stick to God's word, because we are so focused on the here and now and what if I do this and what if, you know, God says, just honor me, just look to me. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be your provider. You know, as God directs your heart, obviously first to him and then also to the needs around you. Because God is faithful and his word is true. And he says, if you sow generously, I will provide generously. You know, Jesus said the very same thing in the Gospels in Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. There's something very important I want to say at this point. Giving should never come from the heart of, I give because I want to get, because this law of God is in place. It should never be like, okay, I'm going to, because that's what the false teachers do, right? That's how they psych up people, because they appeal to the carnality of a person. They appeal to the flesh of the selfishness of people who want more. So like, hey, if you give 100 rand, you know, God's going to give you 1,000. If you give 1,000, you know, God's going to give you 1,000,000, whatever, you know, and they, by that, they're like, okay, I want more. So I'm going to give this because I want more. And that's not the right heart to give, because then you already miss it from the word go. The heart should be first to the Lord. If you're right before the Lord, then you realize everything belongs to him. And then you're just like, God doesn't want you to give all your stuff away. So, you know, like he said last week, that you are burdened, other people are eased. He just wants you to be spirit-led in your giving. He wants you to ask him about your money and about your talents, about your gifts, about all the things that you have to serve the Lord with. Because you don't want the wrong heart. You know, the thing is, those people who beg for money like that in churches, they make God look like a beggar. I don't like that. Do you know that God never needs your money? And if you can't give the right heart, then just please don't give, because God is not in shortage of money. He doesn't need your money. You are giving for your benefit, because you are the one who are benefiting by it. And so the thing is, if someone says, you need to give, otherwise this ministry is going to go down, then please, I mean, if this ministry is going to go down because people aren't supporting it, then please let it go down. Because it's supposed to be God's thing. It's sort of like saying to people, you know what? God can't take care of his own church and you have to help out God. You know, it's like, it's not the truth. But the thing is, I want to tell you, even though some people twist the scripture to get from people, it's still a law. If you want a bunch of something, you need to put in a bunch to get that back. It says, he sows bountifully. So sometimes I know it's not easy to give generously because you may be in a difficult place, but it's always a blessing. Psalm 126 that I read to you this morning, verse 5 and 6, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, I don't know how many of you remember that old hymn. Maybe the older people will. Bringing in the sheaves shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You know, that's where the song comes from. And so our eyes should not be focused on the money. Because yes, we need money to survive and all of that. But money is still just a thing. Now, I should be focused on the Lord. And if you've given yourself to God and you readily give around, you know, then as God directs, there will be no worries. That's the thing I like about that. Because there's a comfort, a peace, a trust that just comes into your life. I just spoke to someone this morning. He said, they're just so comforted. You know, they had no trouble whatsoever. And that's what you want. You just do what's right before the Lord and you know that the Lord's going to take care of you. And it's like, I love, that's like what Forrest Gump said, you know, he says like one less thing to worry about then. So, and you don't have to worry about it. So that's great because your Father has got it. Verse 7, he says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I think that's the third thing about giving. We should give with purpose. First of all, he says, let each one. So giving is for every person, every Christian. Every Christian should be a giver according to their resources. And he says, then that word purposes. Because giving, I don't believe, should ever be an emotional, spur of the moment thing where you are hyped up and now you just give something because there's either pressure or manipulation or some kind of thing going on. Unless you are specifically led by the Holy Spirit, I don't think giving should be like that. Because giving is from the heart. Think about it. Giving expresses your heart, it expresses, you know, your love. And in that sense, it should be something that you thought about, something that you put some mind into and you actually bring it before the Lord for a reason. And that's one of the reasons we don't pass a collection plate. I mean, there are many reasons for that, but this is one of the reasons. Because now suddenly someone walks into the church, you know, and there's a plate stuck in their face. And like, okay, you know, like everyone's watching me. So you grab whether you can find a 5 rand or a 50 rand, whatever, you put it in the thing. I don't have an issue if people do that, by the way. You know, I don't think it's wrong. We just don't do that. Because I feel that's a way of, you're not going to give out of the right heart. Suddenly there's a plate and everyone watching you, you're like, oh, that guy like gave so much. And so, you know, there's that whole thing. And you never want to stir up people in the flesh. And so someone who walks in and gives without giving any thought and any prayer to how they spend their money, I think it's important that now they should be surprised like that. So they're not going to give out of the right heart or the right motivation. And I think, like I said, the main thing is God looks at the heart. All giving is about the heart before the Lord. It's not about the amount, like the widow with the two mites. He sees the heart behind that. And so purposing in your heart is having a mindset towards giving, looking at what you have and then deciding. And I think a decision is important. If you're going to save money, it's a decision you make. You're not just going to wake up one, oh, look at all the money I've saved. You know, you have to decide something like, I'm going to put away this much money every month so I can save money for myself. The same way you need to make a decision in your giving towards the Lord, not just financially, in the way that you serve, in the way that, you know, all the things that God has given you, all your resources and your time and your money and your effort, you have to decide how you're going to put it aside. And so giving needs to be purpose, thoughtful determination. You know what? And if it comes to the Lord like that, it's supposed to come as a worship, as offering of worship to the Lord. Whatever you give to Him, whether it's your time or your finances. Paul says very carefully there, not grudgingly. God doesn't like grudging givers. You know, if you're going to complain about it, then please don't give it, is what the Lord says. I don't need your money, so if you're going to like, oh, you know. Have you ever had someone give you something grudgingly? I mean, that's terrible, right? Someone coming to you and saying, you know what, the Lord's been laying you on my heart, and He's put this thing on my heart to give to you. And I prayed such a long time that He would take it away, but it's still there, you know, and... And since it's still there, you know, I can't really afford it, but there you go anyway. You're like, hey, dude, just keep it. You know, just like, please, I don't want it. You know, it's like one of those things. Like, if you want to give like that, then it's like, please, just don't do it. And that's really what the Lord is saying. You know, He says there, all out of necessity. So many people appeals for giving, their appeals are based on necessity. Like I said, they show you pictures of poorly clothed kids that are hungry and starving. And it's all this emotional thing. And you're like, oh, you know, those poor kids and all these needs. Because there are a lot of needs in this world. There's a lot of needs. But that's still giving out of manipulation or pressure. You know, I remember I was a deacon in the previous church. And I had to go on collection rounds. That was terrible days. I never wanted to get money from the people. But I literally went. I remember going up this one people, they were staying in this flat, and as I came up the stairs, you know, the blinds would just go down, the place would go quiet, and I would hear inside like, hey, he's almost gone, he's going to leave now, and I'm like thinking like, I'm a representative of the church, I'm here to speak to you, and you hide away because you think I want your money, and that bugged me seriously, you know, and that was what it was like a lot, and that's not a good thing. So giving like that, let me tell you, you're far better off just to keep it than giving out of pressure or out of complaint. And the same with God, you know, if someone says, Lord, here's my tithe, you know, this church and all, they just take my money. And, you know, if you want to give it like that, then rather just keep it because there's no blessing in that whatsoever for you. But when it's an expression of your love for God, it becomes an act of worship. It's where your heart is. I mean, like I said, there's always a million needs around you. Let me tell you, you'll never be able to fill all the needs around you. That's why we need to be Spirit-led. Because God has given you some things and He wants you to contribute to some things. So you need to be Spirit-led. Like, this is something I need to give to. That's something that's not just for me for now. Because if you just start giving out needs, you know, guess what? First of all, you're going to run out of everything you have. And secondly, also, you're going to run out of energy and zeal and you're going to give grudgingly. And again, like I said, I'm not just speaking financially. Because imagine... We need help in the children's ministry, or like me say, the kitchen. That's an area where we seriously need help. And if, you know, if we say, well, like, guys, we seriously need people to help in the kitchen, you know, and you're just like, okay, there's a serious need, so I'm just going to jump in and do it. Let me ask you, how's it going to work out for you in the long run? Because very soon you're going to be coming to church like, oh, I have to go to church again early to, you know, wash some things and clean up the kitchen, or I have to stay afterwards and I really want to go for some food. And the thing is, if you are like that, you know, then why give it? Then it's useless because you don't benefit from it whatsoever. Yes, there's a lot of needs and true needs, but you still need to be praying and you still need to serve out of the right heart. What you want to do is be led by the Spirit to seek God's direction, and then you'll give cheerfully. As Romans 8:14 says, look what he says there in that same verse 7. He says, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible actually says God loves it. There's not many things the Bible says, you know, this is something that God just loves. God loves it when someone gives to him, back to him, and just cheerfully. You know, it says he loves it. That's the word agapao. And when we give like that, so that's number four under giving. We should give cheerfully. The Greek word there is the word hilaros, and it means hilarious. That's where we get our word hilarious from. So really God's saying, you know, I love a hilarious giver. Someone's just like, oh, Lord, just take it. You know, it's like, you give me everything, so here it is. And there's no like, okay, Lord, I know it's that time of the month. And, you know, God doesn't want you to give to him like that. He wants you to give with a cheerful heart. Because if giving is to mean anything, really, it has to come from the heart. And if you cannot give cheerfully, then please just don't give. As your pastor, I also need to tell you, that if you're sitting here and you're a Christian and you still say, well, you know, I can't give cheerfully, so I'm just not going to give at all, you know. I also want to need to tell you something else. It's not because God needs your money. It's not because I want your money. I don't. I don't take any of that. The thing is, God has supplied for this church, like I say, from the first day. We've never had support in this ministry. So it's not, I'm not afraid if someone walks out here, like, I wasn't going to tie. I'm not care because this is God's church. He's going to sort it out. I'm not worried about that. You know, the focus is the heart. So we just use what God's given us as resources. But you need to know that one day you'll sit down with the Lord and he'll ask an accounting of you, of all the resources that he's given you, not just the money, but your time. Like, hey, I've given you all that giftings. I've given you that ability. I've given you all that energy. So let's just sit down. And everything I had was yours. So let's sit down and talk about it. And you say, well, Lord, you know, like, yeah, I just use it all for myself the whole time. And God said, well, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Not talking about being judged for your sins. That's a whole different thing. We're talking about that Bema Seat judgment, where there's going to be a reward ceremony for the things that you've done with the right heart unto the Lord. But the thing is, we are all accountable to God with the things that he's given us. And I just wanted to tell you about that. And if you're not giving, then ask yourself, you know, what are you giving towards cheerfully? What are the things that you don't mind spending money on? Because that'll show you where your heart is. The things that you love are the things that you'll spend money on. And so, very importantly, again, giving should be free. It should be willing. It should be a joy. And the thing is, you can even give generously, but not give enthusiastically, cheerfully. There's a lot of people, it's just like because they are very disciplined and self-controlled, like, okay, you know, and they give a generous gift, but the heart is still wrong. You know, it's like, you know, there you go. It's just like, it's not a joy for them. It's not a cheerful thing for them to give. They just do it because it's something that you got to do. Thing is, why should we give cheerfully? He says there in verse 8, look there. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. This is God's promise to the giver, really. And his promise is grace. So I want to say number five thing under giving is giving, you should be able to give peacefully. Giving should be without worry because you trust God. You know that he's in control. And if you give something, God's not going to say, oh man, look at that. God is still going to take care of you. He says God is able. As we give, we must understand that God is able to reward our giving. Jesus taught that not even the smallest gift with the right heart will be unrewarded one day. He said in Mark 9 verse 41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So God sees your heart and your intention in giving. And that's the thing that we have to be concerned about. You know, the word grace, again, grace blesses us because it frees our heart from all the worries and the fears and the greed and the materialism. It helps us to relax and to trust. God's in control of my life. So I don't have to worry. God knows my needs before I even tell it to him. God knows my heart, you know, before I even say anything. And he says, look there, all grace. God will take care of all your needs, like we said, Matthew 6, 33. And as I've said, God will never be a debtor to you or to any man. God is always the first one to give. Everything that you have, God has allowed you to have. Romans 11, 34 and 35, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? You know, that's not a biblical concept. You will never say, God, remember, I gave, you know, and so you owe me. It won't happen ever. And then he says, all sufficiency. That's a Greek word, aftarkeia, and it means contentment. God gives a special contentment to the giving heart. And this is very important, I think, especially in the light of giving and as being stewards over the things that God has given us. It's exactly the same word he uses in 1 Timothy 6:6, where he says, now godliness and contentment is great gain. Those two go together. If you are content with what God has given you, a content heart is important in giving. I want to ask you this morning, are you content? It's a hard question because, you know, we look around. There's advertisement everywhere on every area, really. And we're like, you would be fine if you didn't see something else that you didn't have. You know, if you just don't see that, if you don't see that email coming in, you would never think about spending your money on that, you know. But now you saw it and now you're like, okay. So let me ask you, how does material gain or loss affect your happiness? That's important. Material gain or loss, how does it affect you in your happiness level? Because with true contentment, you know, you can be the richest people on earth and live in poverty. Because God has your heart. There's no lack of contentment. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can always have contentment. And once you are content with what you have, then you're not going to grab the money and the resources and your talents, because then you're like, okay, Lord, this is yours. I will be all right. I don't have to make sure that all my ducks is in a row, because Lord, you are the one who takes care of me. And he says then, there will be abundance for every good work. We are abundantly blessed so that we can be a blessing to other people. You see, God wants the Christian to be a channel of blessing, not a reservoir, just hoarding up everything for themselves. You know, this is not what this world is for. God has given to some much, and God has to others little. Like I said, God doesn't want to swatch it around and like give all your stuff away, but God wants there to be, like Paul said last week, an equality where people look out for other people just because they have less than they themselves have. And so Paul's not saying that every Christian will be wealthy in material things. Take note. This is not a prosperity teaching, because we don't believe in that nonsense. The Bible, we look at the example of Jesus Christ. Right? He said the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Jesus had his robe and his tick and his sandals. You know, he didn't live for the things of the world. And so we should be in a large sense like him in that. And so when he does say that the Christian who practices grace giving will always have what he needs when he needs it. God says, I will take care of all your needs. So when there's a need in your life, I'm aware of it and I will make sure that I'll provide for that. And so we know that in and through Jesus Christ, we can have adequacy available to meet the demands of life. So this is what you have to know. As a Christian, you should go, okay, I love the Lord. I serve him. There's nothing in between us that is wrong. I'm not in some kind of weird thing, stuck in some kind of sin. And for that reason, you know, God will take care of me. And God will look out for my needs. Verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So Paul quotes Psalm 112 verse 9 to prove his point. And he says, his righteousness. We not only share God's grace, but we also share in his righteousness. And so Paul is not saying that generous giving will make us righteous. Never mistake that. He doesn't say that. But it does give evidence of a right standing with the Lord if you are a giving person. You see, on the one hand, the righteous man, he doesn't fear because he knows his God has got it. Because his heart is sincere, he's just serving obediently. On the other hand, there's that thing where that's the evidence in you. We're going to look at that in the next few verses. Look there at verse 10. It says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's a reference to Isaiah 55 verse 10. And Paul recognizes God as the great supplier, because whatever we have to give was first given to us by the Lord. John 3:27 says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. And then he says, I will supply and multiply the seed that you have sown. That's a promise. This is not a false prosperity doctrine. the false prosperity teachers use the truth in the word to gain for themselves, but this is still the truth. And he says it will increase the fruit. So Paul pray, you know, that God will increase the fruits of their giving, that he will increase that in every area of their lives. Look there in verse 11. He says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So he prays they would be enriched by their giving in everything. Everything means materially and spiritually. Paul prays for them. It's like, because you're giving this much, may God just bless you. May God take care of you in that. And it says it causes thanksgiving to God. As we sow, not only are we enriched, but also there will be a thanksgiving in the hearts. Look at verse 12. He says, for the administration of the servants is not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So yes, first of all, this gift will physically and practically help out the saints in Jerusalem. That's the reason why Paul put this together. So that's the first thing that will happen by giving this to them. But it will do much more than that. He says also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. There will be also thanksgiving. So they will be giving more than just supplying their physical needs. They will be giving these people a reason to thank God. And I think we totally misunderstand the value that there is in a thankful heart before the Lord. That's what God wants. Whether you have little or whether you have much, God wants you to be content. He wants you to look at him for every need, and he wants you to be thankful and thank him. I think how many times do we ask God, oh Lord, you know, please, you've got to help with this, you've got to help with this, you've got to help with this, and then God helps, and then how many times do people say thank you? We know as Jesus were healing those guys, like only one guy came back and said thank you. The rest was just like, hey, and they left. And that's what we do. And I think we should always at least say as much thanks, you know, as we ask the Lord for something beforehand. And he says, abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Verse 13, he says, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. So the giving of the Corinthian Christians was also the evidence of God's work in them. He talks about their obedience in this. Matthew 5:16, that very famous verse, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what it's about. At the end of the day, they see what you are doing as a Christian. They look at your life and they glorify your Father that is in heaven. It's exactly how they would glorify God for the obedience of the Corinthians' gift. And I think Paul is making a very bold statement here that is important to understand. He's in essence saying, if a Christian doesn't have a generous heart, he's like, I'm not sure if you really confess Christ. Christ is a giver. God is a giver. And he's like, if you as a Christian don't really have a heart to help people and to be a giver, then, you know, you should really just look at your salvation, because maybe there's not been a true change there. If you've really received the wonderful grace of God, there's no way that you cannot be gracious yourself. Like I said again, there's a lot of needs around. We don't just want to respond to the needs. We want to respond to the needs as the Spirit of God leads us. And he says, your liberal sharing with them. Again, that's that word koinonia in the Greek. It means that fellowship, that communion you have. So he talks about this as a ministry. Maybe you don't think like giving money to someone is a ministry, but let me tell you, it can be a huge ministry. You are helping them. There's a fellowship and a communion that happens there. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. So this is another benefit, he says. In return, they will pray for you. Now let me tell you, that is not a bad trade, to trade money for prayer. That is not a bad trade whatsoever. I mean, we all need prayer. We don't realize how much we need prayer. You know what? They're going to be so thankful and they're going to be praying for you, is what he says. That's a huge, huge benefit. And then verse 15, he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So speaking about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift, Jesus and him bringing the salvation to mankind. So Paul closes this discussion on giving by reminding us, as again, that God is the greatest giver that there is, John 3:16. So giving is God's nature, so godliness will have a giving heart. And I think that's where true biblical giving, that comes in a maturity, because you understand how things work. You know who God is, you are relaxed, because you're not like, hey, you know, I'm not going to have anything if I give. So many times in my life, I've given when I thought I didn't have, and then, you know, God did supply in the time and the need. But God has, it comes in maturity. So Jesus Christ gives the gift beyond description forever, demonstrating his love for us. In the same way, our motive for giving should be love for God. I don't think any other motive is really valid, because then it won't help you. Some people give before others, you know, so everyone can see, like the hypocrites, they are givers too. They give, but everyone sees it. God says, you know what, you have your reward already. I just want to ask you, think about your giftings and your time that you've given, that you give to the Lord, even your finances. And you just think, how often times have I given that with the wrong heart? Like, you know, I don't want to do that now. That sort of struck me like a lightning bolt the other day, you know. Then you might as well not do it, because there's no reward for you whatsoever if you can't do it with the right heart. And so be ready to give generously, be ready to give cheerfully, peacefully, and what you have purposed in your heart. And I think above all, be ready to give because you love God and he will bless you abundantly. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?"